This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper. Our next guest has been conducting research on the association between psychological health and cancer outcomes. We'll touch on that and also on what specific mental health challenges are present at diagnosis, during treatment, and in recovery. Dr. Claudia Trudell Fitzgerald is a research scientist at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and a licensed clinical psychologist in Quebec, Canada. Thanks for joining us, Claudia.
Thank you for having me.
So I think many of us have had somebody in our lives impacted by cancer, and we know that's a trying time for cancer patients, but we may not think in terms of mental health. So let's just start with the basics. What kind of specific mental health challenges do cancer patients typically face?
I think there are three key parts throughout the cancer care trajectory that are especially important when we think about mental health. The first period is when people are going through the different physical exams and around the time of diagnosis. So during that time, you can understand there is a lot of uncertainty about how things will unfold. So people can experience a lot of anxiety. And when the diagnosis is finally made, they can experience sadness or depressive symptoms, especially if the prognosis is not really good. During that time, also, people can experience sleep difficulties related to different worries that they can have in terms of how the treatments will go or any financial decisions they have to make, for example. The second period is during the treatments per se. So people can experience anxiety or depression related to the treatments, the side effects, or any physical changes that can occur with the treatments. We also know that people who are going through chemotherapy, for example, will have their sleep fairly disrupted. So that can be another symptom that is related to mental health. But there are also more physical symptoms such as fatigue or pain that are really physical, but in fact, they are highly related to mental health too. And these two periods during the diagnosis and during the treatments, they've been more documented in the science, and we often discuss them in clinical settings. But the third point that I think is important to mention is when people are transitioning after the treatments are completed. So most of the time, this period is perceived as a relief or good news, the treatments are over. But we know more and more that this period can be difficult too in terms of mental health. And one of the key reasons is that patients will report lacking social support. So either their friends or their family members are slightly less involved because they think that the disease is cured and the treatments are done. We also know from a medical perspective that the appointments are more and more spaced out over time, so they feel less supported by the medical team. So that can be really challenging when the treatments are over too.
And then just to take that one step further, I mean, thankfully, a lot of cancer patients now can live decades after having the disease. Are there long-term survivorship issues we're finding out about now that come up throughout and later in life?
Yeah, so sometimes people will report more cognitive difficulties in terms of memories or being less able to focus over time. And all of these different symptoms that I mentioned before, so anxiety, depression, sleep difficulties, although they can be caused at the beginning by cancer, either diagnosis or treatments, over time they can be maintained just by different habits that people will put in place in their life, and that will sustain the different symptoms over time more in the long-term period. And I think this is when we need to be more careful about whether people need some kind of professional help with that, because we need to not forget that having an emotional reaction to cancer is normal. So experiencing anxiety or depression or sleep difficulties could be a normal reaction, but over time, if those symptoms persist, if they are highly disturbing or if they cause any alterations in daily functioning, this is when we need to seek professional help.
So what does the research show about the connection between our mental state and diseases like cancer, whether it's a risk for disease or, fighting the disease?
I'm glad you bring this question up. It's a field of research that has shown fairly inconsistent results thus far. So in other words, what that means is that some studies will show an association between poor mental health or negative emotions and greater risk of cancer or worse prognosis, for example. And other studies will find no association. So you can understand that this has been a little bit puzzling for scientists. especially because there is some fairly robust evidence for cardiovascular diseases. So in comparison, it's not really clear whether mental health states could be associated with cancer outcomes. And there could be a couple of reasons. We know that some cancer sites can take many, many years to develop. So we need studies with a really long follow-up period to be able to capture those associations. And most of the time, studies are not long enough for that. Another reason might be that the effect is really small. So in other words, studies might not find or find a slight association between mental health and cancer outcomes. But this association is not really important when we compare to stronger risk factors such as age or familial history of cancer. But I think nevertheless, it's important to think about mental health because they can impact, and these states can impact the adoption of health behaviors. So if we think of smoking, for example, or physical activity, people who are more anxious or more depressed may be more likely to smoke or less likely to engage in physical activity. And that in turn can impact cancer risk or cancer survival.
I guess this is something that will have to be studied a lot more, and perhaps it hasn't just been paid a lot of attention to, as you alluded to, because even though we've been studying cancer for decades and different ways to treat it, the mental health connection probably for not as long, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and more research, let's say with more rigorous methods, will be able to disentangle this relationship and have a clearer sense of whether and to what extent psychological states could be involved.
And I think it's similar when someone is diagnosed with cancer. Often there's just this rush to deal with the physical treatment of the disease, finding the right doctor and the right treatment protocol, that dealing with whatever mental health impacts come later. So ideally, how do you think patients should take into consideration mental health care in cancer patients, whether themselves or with a loved one, from the outset?
I think the more we will talk about it, the research, what we show and find in studies, the better it will become known. I think from a patient perspective, it's going to be really important to mention that either to their physician or to nurses or even to family members or friends if they are comfortable sharing their emotional states. That will be important. So therefore, we can assess as clinician or refer or provide resources to help them better cope and regulate those negative emotions over time. And that can start as early as when they are going through the first physical exams to try to make a decision whether there is a cancer or not. And I think from the physician or the clinician perspective, I think we need to be a little bit more proactive about assessing emotional states in cancer patients. As you mentioned, the physical part takes a lot of place in this experience, and oftentimes the appointments are limited in time and there are different priorities to cover. But assessing at least or screening for emotional states is really important. And there has been some validated tools that have been developed for this specific context. So they are fairly short to complete, and then patients can do that in the waiting room or even when they're in the physician office to better assess and target those different psychological symptoms.
What about people who already have some sort of mental health issue they're dealing with? I mean, depression and anxiety are so prevalent now. Then they get a cancer diagnosis. What special considerations should be made for people in that situation?
That's a really good question. So I think there is a good part that is important in terms of communication. So making sure that individuals are understanding any information that are provided. You know, sometimes if the depressive symptoms are really severe, people can have difficulties being focused or bringing their attention and maintaining it for a certain period of time. So in terms of providing the information about the diagnosis, the stage, the treatments that will be upcoming. I think this is one part that is important to focus on. The other challenges is that some of the symptoms of psychological states are also somewhat physical. So sometimes they do overlap with symptoms that are reported by cancer patients that are more side effects of the treatment. So again, coming back to multidisciplinary team that can really tease out what's part of what.
And one of the parts of that bigger picture of dealing with cancer are the caregivers and the family members. What about mental health considerations for them?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. You know, we often say that cancer is not only a disease for the patient per se, but also for the social networks around the patients. So I think for the caregiver and the family members and friends, we know that the more they provide support, if it's good, supported, and positive relationship, it's been associated with an increase in quality of life. And sometimes it's really simple actions that people can do. So either like offering a drive to the hospital or to work if people came back to work. That could be helping in daily activities around the house. Just being there, you know, to listen when the mood is slightly lower, that can be really beneficial. And there is also preliminary data showing that people who have larger social network and they have positive and strong connections with their social network, they're more likely to follow medical recommendations. They are also more likely to engage in health behaviors. And we know that these different behaviors and following recommendations are associated with better prognosis over time. So I think social support could contribute also in that sense to a better quality of life and also survival over time.
What do you think we should be looking forward to next to do in this realm of dealing with mental health issues in cancer patients?
So I think in the hospital settings and clinical and medical settings, really being proactive in assessing and at least asking questions about emotional states. I hope that more and more cancer patients will feel comfortable enough to talk about how they're doing from a psychological perspective. And another interesting aspect is also thinking about what I would call positive emotional states. So we talk a lot about anxiety, depression, sleep difficulties that are key symptoms. These are most of the most frequent reported symptoms by cancer patients. But that doesn't mean that they don't experience joy every now and then or don't wish to pursue a sense of purpose in life, of meaning in life. So I think this is also important. We know that positive and negative emotion can coexist together. And sometimes bringing a little bit more attention to that sphere could help people also better regulate and cope throughout the cancer experience.
So important. Well, we look forward to more research from you and others on this important topic. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.